Last week, our brother Kok Wei stood up here and began with saying how stressful he was because of things that were happening to him and his family. Today, I repeat what he said. How stressful I am. How stressful last week as I prepared this study. I had been told that I should speak on Jerusalem. And I had so much to say, I do not know what to say. And I do not know what to say, I have so much to say. So I do not know what to say. Anyway, the last few days have been very, very eventful for all of us. And I want to bring up before you today three significant calendar dates for this day. This day would include the last 2-3 days. And I would begin with the last 2-3 days where we had our election on the 9th of May. It was a new day for Malaysia. A new day for Malaysia. Many people before that, Christians, I'm referring to, called and rallied together other Christians to pray for a change, to pray that the previous government be toppled. And they cried out in various forms that it was a spiritual warfare and they were fighting against satanic forces and so on. And Christians, through the various public media, had even expressed their feelings to bring down this government by using words that were indeed, I consider, unchristian-like. But that's not the point. I'm not the only one to feel this. And it's interesting to note that you know Rafizi. He himself had this to say. He wrote in his invoke, "Please abide strictly by the advisory by invoke. I am in a few, nearly 99% Malay groups, and I read messages about their anger of non-Malays posting messages against the Malay rulers, etc. Let us immediately refrain posting messages which may be turned racial to be racial by evil-minded Malaysians. Please viral this warning to all non-Malays. Let the law take its course. We have celebrated enough over the last few days. Enough, please, for the sake of maintaining our fragile unity in this country, no more postings on the political scenario in this country immediately." Then there's another appeal. "Please convey to NECF, the National Evangelical Christian Fellowship, and all pastors to tell all the church members to stop sending video clips of them praying spiritual warfare prayers, claiming Putrajaya for Christ or for change of government, and stop claiming that God has answered their prayers. Many Muslims are forwarding such videos out to fellow Muslims that this is a proof of DAP Christian Zionist agenda to take over Malaysia and destroy them." Now, many of us pray, "God, change this government." I'm wondering whether we are praying for our will to be done or His will to be done. Do we forget Romans chapter 13, which states that every government and ruler is ordained of God, that is the sovereign will? Do we want God to fulfill our will or to fulfill God? will. So that what we want, God, you obey. And you submit to what we want. That seems to be the trend. And I think we need to be careful. We need to pray as the Lord prays himself. Not my will, but thine be done. Because God is in sovereign control. And today our study on Jerusalem will show what I mean as we go on. Today is another important day, is Jerusalem Day. Was it a coincidence or was it a chance? That our brother Pei Bing, when he wrote to me to speak on Jerusalem, that he would choose this day to be the topic I should, Jerusalem, to be the day I should speak on this day. Some of you might be new to it. Yesterday evening, at the sunset, 6 o'clock, the Jews in Israel celebrated Jerusalem Day. And it will end today at sunset. Now, it happened that in our secular calendar today, it is 12 yesterday, and will end 13 today. But when we celebrate Jerusalem Day or Independence Day, they will follow their Jewish calendar. Jerusalem Day falls today in our secular calendar. Next year, it will be another day. But what is this Independence Day? I shall talk about that later on in the next slide. There is also today another important day, Mother's Day. And I take this opportunity to wish all mothers a blessed Mother's Day. Mothers are important. And this morning we had the opportunity to see how the Lord himself treated his mother. That he appreciated his mother. And he took care of his mother. He made sure that when he left the mother would have a home. The mother would have love. The mother would have someone to take care of. Unfortunately, this may not be so. And therefore, we need, as Christians who love the Lord, need also to love our mothers. Today, I have no mother to show this kind of love because I'm too old. But my mother is more blessed than ever because she's up there. All of us who are young, but I have children. I have a daughter who is now a mother. I have sons who have married and who have their wives who are mothers. Children need to care for their mother. So I take this opportunity to wish all mothers a blessed Mother's Day. Now, I need to connect Mother's Day with Jerusalem Day. And the text is from Galatians 4:26. Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is that spiritual home of ours. And it belongs to all those saved by grace, in contrast to those under the law. And Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, is the mother of all who are trusted in the Lord. More about that as we go on. And so, we find today's topic, Jerusalem, part 1. Next week will be part 2. We are considering, as I understand, in Sungai Buloh Gospel Hall, the various places in Scripture. And one of them is Jerusalem. Mr. Teo is very unkind to me. He gives me all the stressful cities to consider. Jerusalem and Babylon. The next time I come here, I shall be speaking on Babylon. There's so much about these two cities that you don't know where to start. And it's very stressful. Right. So let me introduce my topic on Jerusalem. What do I say? One, let's consider 4 significant calendar dates for Israel that we must know. in order to understand history of East Jerusalem. 2nd November 1917, that was the Balfour Declaration. First time after over 1,000 years when no Jew had ever a place that they could call home, when all the Jews were dispersed throughout the four corners of the earth, when there was no city that they could call theirs. Britain acknowledged and recognized that there was this community, the Jews, and through this Balfour Declaration declared that the Jewish community from now onwards should not have their religious as well as the civil rights prejudice in any way, whether they would be in Palestine or whether they are outside of Palestine as a Jewish community, that the Jews should be recognized that they were a people. But of course, they still do not have a state. And so, we find on 14th of May 1948, Israel, who because of the treaty of the Balfour Declaration, returned to Palestine, and they gathered together and they declared themselves a state to possess. And so 14 May 1948, Israel's Independence Day, or what we call Jerusalem Day, came to about. But then they were in not control of Jerusalem. They came back into Israel. But Jerusalem was still out of their hands until God's timing. Not thine will, not my will, but thine be done. God's timing. He, in a very miraculous way, helped Israel to conquer Egypt and the neighboring countries of Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and so on, and got back Jerusalem. Got back Jerusalem. But of course, the world was against them, and they could not possess Jerusalem. Somehow, they annexed Jerusalem, and up to today, they still want to occupy the whole of Jerusalem, but forbidden by the international. But still, they have got their independence. So, today, yesterday, and today, they will be celebrating Jerusalem Day, their independence, since 1948. But after 1967, when they conquered Jerusalem, that became the day when they would recognize it as Jerusalem Day. But then, last year, May 2017, there came this UNESCO resolution. United Nations Educational and Social Cultural Organization, proposing that Israel had no claim whatsoever on Jerusalem. And they declared on 2nd May 2017, they passed on a resolution called it Occupied Palestine, submitted by Algeria, Egypt, Lebanon, Morocco, Oman, Qatar, and Sudan. All these were Muslim countries. Israel had no right. Israel had no connection, no legal connection whatsoever with Jerusalem. And they declared very blatantly, Israel has no legal or historical rights anywhere in Jerusalem. So that from that time onwards, all the names in Jerusalem would be changed, or on the Temple Mount, would be changed to Islamic names, Arabic names. No more English names, no more Israeli names. And so they declared, Israel had no right to any part of Jerusalem. That vote was passed to coincide with Israel's Independence Day, with 22 countries in favor, and of course, among the 22 countries in favor would be Malaysia. 23 abstentions, 10 opposed, and the representatives of 3 countries absent. The 10 countries that voted against the resolution were the US, UK, Italy, the Netherlands, Lithuania, Greece, Paraguay, Ukraine, Togo, and Germany. And you know, out of these, that list, only about 3 or 4 were well-known countries. The others are known. They were brave enough to oppose. Now, I'm glad to hear that on Monday, the U.S. Embassy will be setting up their embassy, or transferred their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, to recognize Jerusalem. Now, my study on Jerusalem, as given to me by our brother, would be to challenge the resolution. Has Jerusalem any legal right or not, over Jerusalem? We shall see as we go on. Israel has no legal or historical rights anywhere in Jerusalem. Is that so? What's the history? You consider. So, Jerusalem, the city, let's go into the background of it to see whether Jerusalem is, has, Israel indeed has a right to Jerusalem. So, first the city. Well, it's recognized today that it's the international city. That's where all the fight. It's the first city of Palestine and a holy city for 3 great world religions: Christianity, Judaism, Islam. Is today this city of Jerusalem is integrated into 4 quarters. The holy city is 14 miles west of the Dead Sea, 33 miles east of the Mediterranean, situated on an uneven rocky plateau of 2,550 feet. Just to relate this to our local conditions that you will understand how high it is, this will be twice the height of Penang Hill and 3,800 feet above the level of the Dead Sea. That will be 3 times the height of Penang Hill. And Jerusalem is indeed quite high. In the old time, David's city, as we shall see in the consideration of history, came from Jebusite Jerusalem. It belonged to the Jebusites first. Then David conquered the Jebusites and then established his capital city in Jerusalem. It was shaped like a footprint. And today, we find that Jerusalem is divided into 4 quarters. And as you can see, there will be the Islamic quarter, there will be the Jewish quarter, the Christian quarter, and the Armenian quarter. 4 quarters. And Jerusalem, around there, we look and we see that it is not under any, but it's under international control. Alright? And this is where the problem is starting. Because in the supposedly place where the old temple was built, there stood above it the Dome of the Rock, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, sorry. And this is where the Jews today are fighting hard to establish and to restore the old temple. Well, that's another day. Let's consider secondly, Jerusalem. What does it mean in order to establish that Israel indeed has a right to Jerusalem? Its origin, where did the word Jerusalem come from? Nobody actually knows. Some believe that it has got a Hebrew origin and that it has to do with the mountains surrounding it. Some people say that Jerusalem is a city standing on 7 hills. Well, Jerusalem seems to mean dual, referring perhaps not only to the mountains around, it's a mountainous city, but also to 2 special mountains, Mount Moriah and Mount Ophel, as the origin of Jerusalem. But we are not sure how the name Jerusalem came about. Some people even think that Jerusalem was a city of peace. That is what its name means. Because Salem is peace, derived from the Hebrew word shalom. So because of that, they think that Jerusalem was originated from peace, a city of peace. Unfortunately, up to today, we find that Jerusalem, all these previous 1,000 years or more, had no peace whatsoever. In fact, the last time, my first time in Jerusalem, I bought a chart of Jerusalem this big, and I was with a charismatic group, and some of them looked at me, "Do you dare to bring this chart and put it up in your home?" I say, "What's wrong? It's a nice, beautiful Jerusalem chart showing the panoramic view of Jerusalem. I'm going to put it in my study room." "Oh, you bring it in, you will have no peace at all. Because Jerusalem is not a city of peace. You will have no peace at home." Today, I have got a lot of peace. And my chart still is standing there. I thought of bringing it down to let you see. But it's so pinned up on the wall. I had a lot of trouble bringing it up, bringing it down. So I said, "No, I just tell you. Jerusalem, a city of peace, but without peace." Now, let's see again its association with the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the word Jerusalem occurs 643 times. Imagine that. The first occurrence was in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1, where we read of the king of Jerusalem. Now, he has got a very long name. I think it's Adonai-Zedek. Yeah, Adonai-Zedek. The king of Jerusalem, he heard that Jericho had been conquered by Israel. Ai had been conquered, and Gibeon was making peace with Israel. He was afraid, so he gathered four other kings to team up with him to fight Israel. Israel fought the battle, almost won the battle, but they needed time. And so they asked God, "God, please withhold the day so that the sun does not move and the moon does not move, so that we have got extended hours that we might defeat the five kings completely." And that's the first time it happened. A miracle happened when the sun stood still and the moon stood still for one whole day, almost one whole day, and they were able to defeat the five kings. And so we see that Jerusalem indeed was, the king of Jerusalem was defeated, and then that's how it came into the hands of Israel. The last occurrence would be in Malachi 3:4, where we read that the Messiah would come. Up to this time, we find that Jerusalem would have no king, did not have any kings. But the time is coming when the Messiah will come as the king of Jerusalem. And then when he comes, he will establish again all the temple services and offerings and so on. And then that would be the last occurrence. In the New Testament, the word Jerusalem occurs 83 times. First occurrence you know very well in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, when the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem at the time when Jesus was born. The last occurrence was Revelation 21:10, when we read that holy Jerusalem would have come down from heaven. And so you find that Jerusalem occurs in the Bible in the Old Testament 643 times, in the New Testament 83 times, giving a total of 726 occurrences. And the Muslim countries that voted in the UNESCO resolution pointed out that Israel had no right no legal right, no historical right, no connection whatsoever with Jerusalem. And here we find not only the Jews, but Christians themselves had a connection with Jerusalem, mentioned in the scriptures thousands of years ago. You know what? And this is a very interesting feature. While the Islamic nations declared that and proposed in the UNESCO resolution that Israel had no legal rights whatsoever over Jerusalem, they claimed that they had the rights, but not even once is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran. Not even once. Compared to the over 700 times in the scriptures. Old Testament for the Jews, New Testament for the Christians, zero in the Quran has Jerusalem, has Israel no right whatsoever. The oldest form of this name Jerusalem was shortened to Shalem in Psalm 76 verse 2, where we read also of the Melchizedek, king of Salem, in Genesis chapter 14. And again, as I point out, Salem means peace, but ironically, we find that Jerusalem is not a city of peace. Okay, so we now challenge the UNESCO resolution. Has Israel no legal right? From the biblical standpoint and from the historical standpoint, we find that Jerusalem was associated with Israel thousands of years ago. There are other names used for Jerusalem. Zion, for example, is transliterated from the Hebrew as Zion or Sion in Greek. And it's first mentioned in the account of David's conquest of Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 5, 6, 7 to 10 is a very interesting chapter. David wanted to conquer the Jebusite city of Jerusalem. And as he got ready his men, the Jebusites challenged him. You want to conquer us? It was a very powerful and strong citadel and fortress. You didn't conquer us? You must first conquer the blind and the lame. They were so proud and so convinced that their citadel was so strong and fortified that they would only allow the lame and the blind to defend the city. All other countries, all other people could not even conquer the city. They were very proud. You will have to first defeat the blind and the lame. Then only you can conquer. But David found a way of conquering it through a tunnel that went under the city and then in the end conquered the city. Jerusalem was the name of the city, state as a whole, and included numerous villages. Not only the city, but of course it will cover the villages around about at that time. So after David captured Zion, he resided there, stayed there, and changed his name to the city of David. This is another proof of Israel's legal right with Jerusalem. It was called the city of David. Zion was a biblical word, was used in various ways by various writers. It was a temple built by Solomon, referring to Israel as a nation, the capital of Judah, the city of God in the new age, in the millennium, and then the heavenly Jerusalem that will come down from heaven. And so we'll find that Jerusalem occurs in the Bible many times and various occasions. And so Jerusalem is indeed very, very closely linked with Israel, and that's why today Israel claim that Jerusalem is an eternal city, their eternal city that God had given them, and they will never, never give it up again. After, in a very miraculous way, in the Six-Day War, when they conquered Jerusalem, and when nobody expected it. Right. Now, some of you might have received my rumination for today. And today, I have a rumination called Jerusalem Day and Mother's Day. And very quickly, Zion played a very, very important part, a role in Scripture, especially in Psalm 137, where we read Israel now being as captives in Babylon, crying out. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows. Singers, one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How could they sing? They were very sad. They were captives in Babylon. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. And that's where Jerusalem has been a city which is considered historical to Israel all these years. They will never give it up because they will remember it. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Israel indeed will be remembered in Revelation 14 when the 144,000 will be in the new Jerusalem and which they will sing a new song to the praise of the Lord. And so we find that Jerusalem indeed is linked historically, religiously, and in all forms, eternally even, with Israel. And yet, UNESCO has the cheek to say they have no right whatsoever to Jerusalem. Alright, that was my rumination for today. Now, the second name, apart from Zion and Jerusalem, is the City of David. It is called the City of David. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 7, I refer it to it just now. David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So they brought up the Ark even into the and into Jerusalem. So it was not only historically connected to Israel, but also religiously connected. No right? No legal right? Here are all the evidence. It is also called the City of God, and yet would give it the authority that it is indeed God's city. And that's why Israel called it the Eternal City. There is a river, the streams, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Rehoboam reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to put my name, says the Lord himself. And so we find all this evidence to show that indeed Jerusalem has every right to exist as a Jewish city. I have brought a lot of things before you. Let me just recapitulate very quickly what I have told you. I have discussed with you four significant calendar dates. Jerusalem as a city and its connotation, the origin of the city, the occurrences as it occurs in the Bible, its oldest form, the other names. Now we go on to the next point. God's choice of the Jews and Jerusalem. God's choice. Why did God choose Jerusalem? Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 7 will give us an idea, as we shall discuss later on. Then please remember that while God chose Jerusalem, God also would chastise Jerusalem or the people in Jerusalem for their disobedience to his commandments. We shall discuss his 2 points for the rest of this time, very quickly. God's choice of the Jews and Jerusalem. That's why today I bring up the question at the very commencement of this study about our prayer and crying out, Lord, change the government. Lord, topple the previous government, and so on. While we pray for all these things, let us remember that God's will must be done. And today, if that government is not toppled, do you dare to say that my prayer is not answered by God? Do you dare to say that because the old government would continue, that God is far away, God is distant, and there is no God? Would you dare to say that? God's will must be done. I am very, very sure when the Jews were dispersed in its history, the Jews had cried out the same prayer, Lord, topple this government. Lord, bring down this government. Look at us. We are not persecuted. We are in trouble and we are killed by the night and by the day. Lord, destroy this government. And yet the Lord brought them through year by year, 40 years in the wilderness, over 1,000 years dispersed in all the four corners of the earth. A temple with burnt and raised to the ground. Is that God? Or do we cry out, Lord, we are your people. Why are you living like this? Not please. What kind of people they would be? They were to God. First, they were God's special choice. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 9. God says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you out of my own sovereign will. I have chosen you to be my people. Not because you are great. Not because you are big in number. Not because you are numerous. No, you are a small number in the face of all the other tribes and all the other nations. But I have chosen you. I decided to choose you. I want you. I choose you. That's my will. Finish. Full stop. Did it. In spite of this, the acknowledgement of God's sovereign will in choosing a government, in choosing his people, let us remember this. He wanted them to obey, so that if they obey him, then all the covenants that he made with their ancestors would be fulfilled. Genesis 12, he promised Abraham that his seed will become a nation and spread all over the world. They will be blessed. He promised Abraham a holy land that they would occupy. And up to today, the holy land had not been occupied fully yet. And Jerusalem is inside there. And so, God's will must be done. Are we praying, God, let our will be done? We do not like this government because they persecute us, because they defile your name. God, destroy them. When it's not time to do so, he will not do it. He has a timing. He will do it when the time comes. God's sovereign choice of the place of worship. Deuteronomy 12, 10 and 11. God told the people before they went into the promised land, you will all have to come and worship in the place that I choose, Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem. There you will offer your offerings. God swore curses if they did not obey his precepts. While God chose in his sovereign will that they would be his people, he would love them. He would not destroy them so that they would be eliminated in the future. Though he said all this in his sovereign will, he gave them a free will, a responsibility. Obey my commandments. You do not obey, you will get the curses. And that's why they got the curses. Because they disobeyed the very commandments of God. And God had to postpone his fulfillment of his covenant promises to Abraham. And so we find they were in the wilderness moving around for 40 years because they disobeyed God. They did not have faith in God. God's will must be done. God had chosen Israel to be his people. And they will be his people worshipping him. But if they refuse, then God will punish them. And his fulfillment, accomplishment of what he wanted to do for Israel would be postponed. It would not be demolished completely. It would be postponed. So it will be done. God's curse on the Jews in Jerusalem. If you do not obey, I will curse you. You, all these curses which I mentioned, and he mentioned quite a lot in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and 28, all these curses will fall upon you, and you'll be dispersed throughout the four nations, throughout the four corners of the world. God's curses came true. And we find here, very quickly, I will not develop on that because I do not like history. In school, I failed my history. Not once I passed my history. So I do not know, I do not like history. So I will just go through very quickly. If you are interested, go to my website and read the notes there. We've already learned that David captured the city of the Jebusites that started Jerusalem. David brought the ark into the city in Jerusalem to show God's presence there, that God's holy city. Then it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The city and the temple were destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar because Israel fell into idolatry. They followed the idolatry of the nations around, and they allowed themselves to fall away. And the Lord brought in Nebuchadnezzar. Please note, the Lord brought in a cruel government. He warned Daniel. He warned the Jews about that. In the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we see God's program of bringing one regime after another to conquer Jerusalem, and how they would be punished. That time, from the time when Babylon conquered Jerusalem, will be followed by Persia, Greece, and Rome up to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the brief history of Jerusalem. That would start, as we read in Luke 21:24, the times of the Gentiles. From the time when Nebuchadnezzar came over and conquered Jerusalem and raised it to the ground, Jerusalem or Israel had never had a king anymore. No more king. And up to today, Israel will have no more king. Until tomorrow, when the Messiah will come and he will be their king. Then all worship will start again. But until that time, God is control. Would not the Jews be praying, "Lord, save us from our regime. Save us from this cruel government. Save us." Yes, they would cry out, I'm very sure. But God did not answer their prayer in that way. God had a time. God had his calendar of his own. Let us remember that. Not my will, but thine be done. And Ezekiel warned Israel about the coming of the king from the north, Babylon, to bring about all this. And so we find the temple was razed to the ground, and the inhabitants were deported to Jerusalem, and they were there for 70 years. God's timing. They were in Babylon for 70 years. Not 68, not 65, not 73, not 75, but 70 years, according to his own timing. So what happens in Malaysia is according to his own timing. So, as Christians, as biblical Christians, let us not use harsh words on those who do not agree with us. Let us ever be conscious of God's sovereign will working in our lives and in the lives of the nation that we are in. And so, Jerusalem was destroyed, and from that time onwards, we find that Jerusalem never had a king anymore. That would begin what is known in Luke 21:24 as the times of the Gentiles, when Gentile kings one after another would be killed. Then after Babylon, there came Cyrus, the Persian king. Again, please note, Cyrus was named 300 years before he was born. 300 years before he was born, God said, I will raise up Cyrus, and his name will be Cyrus, and he will deliver the people out from Babylon so that they could go back to Jerusalem and build a temple there. His own timing. He did it even before Cyrus was born. And therefore, we find that Cyrus allowed Zerubbabel to return to build the temple. Later on, we find that Nehemiah went back to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and all started, but there was no king. So we find the temple was built and the wall was built, and Jerusalem prospered again. Until, of course, later on, Alexander the Great came along under the Grecian Empire. All this in the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. All this you will read. If you go to my website, I'm not interested in this anymore. Here, I will just mention some names. The Grecian power came in. One person whom we must know of was Antiochus Epiphanes from the Syrian army. He was the one who desecrated the temple, who punished the Jews, and he brought in a pig and slaves through it on the altar in the temple. And he is often regarded as the Antichrist of the future, because he has the characteristics, if you study his history, he has the characteristics of Antichrist that is coming. So Antiochus Epiphanes, remember him. And he destroyed and desecrated the temple in 168 BC. And because of that, there was a revolt known as the Maccabees Revolt, the Maccabean Revolt. And here, for some time, 142 to 63 BC, the Maccabees were in power. But after that, Jerusalem was no more in the power of the Jews. They were always under Gentile domination, alright, and under Gentile domination until the time of Christ. And we have the various Herod coming in, and later on we find that Herod restored the temple. That is not rebuilding of the temple, it's an expansion of the temple, so big and so beautiful. So that in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, this temple took about 300 years to build, to be renovated. And the Lord Jesus Christ was at that time. This was a temple. And here is what you see about this temple. It was this temple, the Lord said, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, looking down at the temple. He said, Matthew chapter 24, not one stone of this temple will be resting on another, because it will be destroyed completely. And it came true in the prophecy later on in 70 AD when General Titus came along and destroyed the temple. No, he did not want to destroy the temple. He wanted the gold of the furniture, of the items of furniture in the temple. He did not want. He told his generals and his people, his soldiers, not to destroy. But one kind of soldier threw a light into the temple, fired the curtains, and started to raise the temple to the ground. And the whole temple was destroyed. God's prophecy. And you know what? The Roman soldiers were so greedy because of so much money, gold, inside the temple. The fire melted the gold, and the gold was flowing down from the burnt bricks and so on, because it was so hot. Result, the people rushed into the temple to search for the gold. Not one stone was left upon another, because they were searching for the gold. And the prophecy came true to the very detail. From 70 AD, the Jews were dispersed throughout the four corners of the earth because they refused to obey God. And so, after that, the Lord Jesus Christ died, and the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. and he gave start to a new movement, Christianity. And they became witnesses, first in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the rest of the world. Jerusalem did not only belong to the Jews, it belonged to the Christians, as we shall see next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy sovereign will in all things, especially in the affairs of men. And we do realize that sometimes thine people suffer, and suffer tremendously. But Lord, there is, we know that behind all that, there is a purpose. And only in thy good time will work out that purpose. But in the meanwhile, O Lord, let us be faithful to thee. Let us know thy word, and let us be true to thee. We ask thee, Lord, that will preserve all thy children today who are undergoing persecution, that even as they have to go through this period of persecution, thou will take care of them and thou will preserve them. We ask these things, giving thee thanks that thou art in control over the affairs of this world, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.